thinking, we start thinking that person's always been that way. That's the way. That's just the way they was raised. That's the way they grew up. And you may think the same about me. You know, he's a preacher. That's the way he's always been. You know, he's just Brother Tim. I'll tell you something. I am a believer this morning. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I wasn't always a believer. I wasn't always a believer. I was a sinner. Even though I grew up in a Christian home, I grew up in a preacher's home. My dad's been pastoring for 52 years now. But even though I grew up in a good Christian home, I grew up in the home of a preacher, I was not a believer. I was not a Christian. I went to church every Sunday and Wednesday. Even though I was saved later, I went to church because I lived at home. And that was expected. It wasn't a discussion. I went to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and I knew a lot about the Bible. But I didn't know anything about serving God. I still wasn't a believer. I even believed a lot of the Bible. I believed there's a heaven, there's a hell. I believed a lot of what God said. I believed there was a God. I mean, in that sense, I believed a lot of the facts of the Bible. But I wasn't a believer in the Bible sense of the word. One day when I was 24 years old in February, after listening to probably at least 2,000 messages, I became a believer. It was a Friday evening in revival. Brother Lazier is preaching revival in Scottsburg, Indiana. And that Friday night, I became a believer. After sitting through better than 2,000 messages, after sitting through 3 services a week all my life till I was 24 years old, I became a believer. You know what happened? I really believed God's word. In this sense, you know how you can tell if somebody really believes? They act like it. You know, if you have a tornado warning go off, I tell you, those who believe a tornado will coming will act differently than those who believe it isn't, right? I mean, if you really believe a tornado is coming and a good chance is coming this way, it'll cause you to take action. It'll cause you to do something. And in that sense, even though I believed God, there was a God, I believed a lot of the Bible, I didn't really in my heart believe it to the extent of acting on it. And it was that Friday night that I gave my heart to God. I believed. I accepted God's forgiveness. I accepted the salvation God offered me. And I became a Christian. You know what? That's good news. That's the gospel. In fact, this is really good news. It's the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life. My life's been good. I'll be honest with you. My life has been good. I don't know why, but my life's been good. Now, I mean, I've had problems, right? And some of you know me very well. I've went through some difficulties. My life's not been without any difficulties. I've suffered financial difficulties. I've had other things to deal with. But overall, my life's been good. But then I've had a good family, good parents. But the best thing that ever happened to me was coming to know God in a real way. It's become the focal point of my whole life. Everything I do, everything I am, revolves around that decision I made those many years ago. That decision 26 years ago. That decision I made has become the focal point of my life. God called me, not only to know Him, but God called me to tell this good news to others. And that's what I want to do this morning. I thought as I studied, how plain can I make this life of being a Christian life? There's a lot of misunderstandings about what it means to be a Christian. There's a lot of misunderstandings in our world today. A lot of misconceptions about what it means to be a Christian. Even in our circles, I find there's a lot of misconceptions. People who grow up in good churches, there's still a lot of misconceptions in my mind about what it really means to be a Christian, what it takes to be a Christian, what a real Christian life is like. And I know there's some things I can't fully explain this morning, some things you have to experience to understand. As I said, I spent 24 years in the preacher's home and service all the time, heard 2,000 messages, and there's some things I never really understood until I experienced them. But as best I can, I want to help you see this morning what a real Christian life is like. First of all, I'll start with this. A real Christian life is a lot more than just a decision to become religious. It's a lot more than a decision just to go to church. It's even more than a decision to change the way you live. It's more than a decision to verbally accept Christ and go by a name of Christian. Becoming a real Christian is beginning a new life. It's having a new life. The Bible refers to it as being born again. If you want to turn in your Bible to John the 3rd chapter. John the 3rd chapter, chapter 3. So Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say to thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst tell where it came, where it goes. So is everyone that's born in the Spirit. You know what he's saying? There's a new life to begin. And just like he said, you can't explain where the wind come from, where it's going, yet you feel its effects. It's that way in salvation. There is a new life. Being born again, it doesn't mean being reborn. Physically, it means being born to a new life spiritually. We really do begin a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, does that mean when you get saved, you get a new job, you get a new car, you get a new house, get a new... No, not in the sense that everything vanishes away and everything gets new. But everything looks new. It looks different. You know why? Because our perspective on life has changed. We've been awakened to what a spiritual life. You know, you're both body and spirit. All of us have both body and spirit. Most people only live in their body. That's the only life they know. And that's why they live for this world. They live for pleasure or things or status and poor. I mean, that's because that's all they know. When we're born again, we become awakened to spiritual realities. That there's more to this life than just our flesh. We're born just our body. You know, it's more than the physical life. Become aware of spiritual realities. And salvation, that's what we're awakened to. Salvation is a new life in this sense also. We have a new purpose for living. We have a new reason for living. It's not just about us, not just about what we get, not just about this life. We're changed from loving ourselves to loving God and loving others. And that's a real change. It's both a change that's within us and a change that's beyond us. And by that I mean, it's more than just making a decision. That's our part of it. We make a decision that yes, we're going to follow God. Yes, we're going to submit ourselves to Him. Right? I mean, that's part of it. But there's also a part that only God can do. There's a part of salvation that only God... That's why just trying to change our life, making a decision to change doesn't work. It takes the part God supplies in the new birth also. Ezekiel 36 and 26 says, A new heart I'll give you. A new spirit I'll put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. You know, we really can't begin living this Christian life without a work of God. You can't. Not really. Listen to me now. Listen. We can begin changing our life. We can begin going to church, but to really begin a Christian life also takes a work of the Spirit of God. Inside of us, we can change, but the real change from loving ourselves to loving God and others takes a work of God inside of our heart also. That's what makes it real in this life, is that God Himself helps and does a work within us. Yes, there's a part we have to do. We have to ask for forgiveness. We have to humble ourselves. We have to acknowledge. And we have to be willing to turn. But there's also a part God does in the reality of salvation. In doing that, this Christian life is a life that has experienced forgiveness, as Brother Chris testified of. You know, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to be free from guilt of the past. You know, things we've done in the past, we can't ever really make them right in one sense of the word, because you can't go back and undo it. As my mom says, you can't unring a bell. Once it's rung, it's rung. And there's things in life you can't go back and undo. But it's a wonderful thing to be treated as if you never done them, isn't it? And that's what forgiveness is. That God treats us as if we never did anything wrong. The guilt's gone. There is no more guilt. Psalms 103 and 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. You know, when we really experience forgiveness, there comes a peace inside. A deep peace inside. Everybody's Christian experience is unique. That means you knowing God is unique to you. It's not identical to anyone else's experience. You know God for yourself. It's a real relationship. I know Brother Ron, and I have a real relationship with Brother Ron. But Sister Grace knows Brother Ron, and her relationship with Brother Ron is different from mine. We may both love him. We may both appreciate him, but our relationship with him is different, right? And it's that way with God. All that come to know him truly love God and have a real experience, but it's uniquely your own experience with God. Yet there's one thing, maybe more, but at least one thing that's in common with every Christian experience. And that is that we experience peace within from the forgiveness God gives us. Some people, when they get saved, shout. Some cry. Some don't show a lot of emotion. I'm not a publicly emotional guy most of the time. Some people don't show a lot of emotion. But all, they do experience a peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It brings peace. A real Christian, and listen, what most people long for in life is peace within. Some can only imagine what a life of peace is. Now, you may have disruptions in other areas of life, but there is a place we can find a peace with God. Not only have we been cleansed, have peace with God, but we've been cleaned up in our life. 1 John 1:15 says, this is a message we heard of him. We declare unto you God's light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light is a metaphor that means, you know, what's light do? Light shows the way things really are, right? I mean, when you're in dark, you can't really tell how things are. You might not be able to see things plainly. The light shows us plainly. And walking in the light has the idea of living our life in the open. And in the light of God, it means simply this, that we do what we know God wants us to do. Is that simple enough? That we simply walking in the light means the light, the knowledge, the understanding God's given you. We simply live in what we know. Not what I know, not what somebody else knows, but what you know pleases God. And what you know don't please God, you stay away from. Amen? This is a real Christian life. It takes those elements of being changed by God, of being cleaned up, of being forgiven, and then a determination to do what we know pleases God. This Christian life's also a growing, progressing life. It's not a life that gets old. It's not like a car, or it's not like, I was trying to find something to compare it to. It's not like something you buy and you own, and you have, and becomes commonplace, you get tired of it, it grows old, it stays the same. It's a life. It's a real life. That means it doesn't get old. The newness doesn't wear off in that sense. It's exciting to continue to follow God. That we want to know more about him. We want to know what it takes to please him. We want to know him better. And we want to live more pleasing to him. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. if indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. It's a real relationship with Jesus Christ that's lived out day by day. It's somewhat like being married. If all you was in it for was the wedding ceremony, it's not going to be very satisfying, is it? A good marriage requires that you continue to live day by day, right? And continue to maintain the relationship. Well, it's the same with the Christian life. This Christian life is more of a life lived with God than it is a life lived for God. There's an aspect of our Christian life that we're living for God. And by that I mean we're doing what we do a lot of times for God, to please Him. But it's much more than that. People, we need true Christianity is beyond that. It's beyond just living for God. Yes, it has an element of that, but it's living with Him day by day. John 14 and 23 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. It's living with God. Day by day, living a Christian life is more than just a one-time experience. It's not more than even living for God. It's living with Him day by day. Illustrate it this way. Typical life in a Christian. I wake up in the morning. I happen to be a morning person. You may not be, but I wake up early. But a lot of times I'll stay in bed and just pray. Pray that God would help me. Pray about what I know the needs are. Pray some of your burdens. I know you're carrying them. But I begin the day praying, asking God for things that I stand in need of. Thanking Him for some things. But asking Him for what I stand in need of. Asking Him to help me throughout the day. I get up. Go to work. I go to work. I never know exactly what my day will be like. Working with people is challenging. Working any job is challenging. Working with people is. Things come up. Encounter a problem. Not out loud, but a lot of times just in my mind, I'm saying, God, help me with this. Give me wisdom here. Help me know what to do. Lately, and probably for last year, every time when I step out of the car, I say, God, grant me favor today. Grant me favor with those I work for, those I work with. May your blessing be on me. Help me today. May your spirit go with me. May the habit is open the door and get out to say, God, help me today. Help me as I go in. And I do ask for God, asking for wisdom. Sometimes questions aren't easy. I don't know what to do. I say, God, help me. I got to make a decision. Help me to know. And go to lunch. And I pray over my meals. I ask, thank God for the food He provided. Thank Him for the things in life He's helped me with to be able to have, to enjoy good food. Whether I'm in public, sometimes I'm at business meetings, and that's not always the most comfortable to say, I'd like to thank God for the food, but I always do. I want to acknowledge Him. He's the one that provides my help. It's living my life in every situation with Him, in every situation that comes along, in dealing with the kids. There's times when I need wisdom to know how to help, to know what to say. Yeah, when they're little, there's wisdom you need in knowing how to train them. But I tell you what, as they get older, the problems, as Dad said, the problems just get bigger and more expensive as they get older and harder to deal with. But I need wisdom in dealing with that. Come home, eat supper, and again, thank God for the meal. As a family, there may be work around the house. There's times when life's going along. There's times when I just see things that God's helped me with. As Sister Grace said, times you come in the building, I just thank Him. God, thank you for what you've given us. There's times I'm around the house, I say thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. And then there's times for need of wisdom. There's other times I'm working on a car and get frustrated, and I pray, God, help me. And I don't always make the bolt drop off automatically, but I tell you what, I believe God helps me in every sphere of my life. I believe He helps me when I work on the car. I believe He helps me when I talk to the kids. I believe He helps me when I'm filling out my taxes. I believe He helps me when everything I encounter. You know why I'm living life with Him? That's what I'm trying to say. It's a life lived conscious of God's presence with me, moment by moment, in everything, in every way. He doesn't work a miracle for me in everything, but He's there to help me. He's there to be with me and comfort me. And then pray before I go to bed. Again, thank God for his goodness of another day. I'm talking to him all day long. But I want to stop in the morning and in the evening, thank him for his goodness. Pray for needs. I make it a practice because of my responsibility. Pray for every one of you. Every one of you that's in the building. I pray for you every day. The ones that attend here regular. I pray for you every day. And if I know your needs, I ask God to help you with them. If I know you're struggling with something, I ask him to help. Amen. Pray for what I'm struggling with. Before I go to sleep, I make sure everything's clear between me and God. And I can go to sleep in peace. That's what a Christian life is. It's a life lived with God, moment by moment, day by day. And as we ask him for things, the big things, the little things, as we see him work, as we see him help, we grow to know him better and trust him more. That's what I mean. This Christian life is real. It's a real life. It's not a Christian. A Christian life's not a life that's without trouble. It's not a state of utopia. When I got saved, I've had more trouble in my life since I got saved than before I got saved. I have, because there's some things that brought difficulty in my life just because I do know God. There's other things because I got older and life doesn't seem to get simpler any step along the way. Life, when I was single and 24, life was pretty simple. When I look back on it, life was pretty simple. And as you acquire a family, as you acquire, move on in life, there's more difficulties at times. John 16:33 says, I told you these things, that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble. Take heart. I've overcome the world. You may have more trouble in some areas. When you get saved, you may encounter more battles. This Christian life's not a life without trouble. But this Christian life's also not a list of just do's and don'ts. That's what I want you to see. Yes, it's a moral life. Yes, it's a life that we live to please God, but it's so much more than that. It's not a bondage. I'm not trying to please someone by doing this or not doing that altogether. I'm trying to please God in everything. Whosoever believeth, this is 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat also loved him that's begotten. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. We keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It means we're living a life. It's more than do's and don'ts, but it is living a holy life. It is living a life of doing what we know we ought to do and avoiding doing what we know we ought not to do. But it's not grievous because that's what we want to do. And then finally, this Christian life is a wonderful life because it's a life that never has an end. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This life that we begin here with God, with all of his help and everything, is only the beginning. There is a life that is without end, that we are headed for. That's our real reward. We'll be with God every day, all day, no trouble, no sin, no problems, no temptation. Nothing to distract us in any way. Without end, in a perfect world. Isn't that something to look forward to? This life that we begin here is wonderful, but it's only the beginning. It's a life without end. And I've saved the best news for last. God has blessed me with a wonderful life to this point. I mean that sincerely. Living for God and loving him, living with him through the ups, through the downs of life, has been a wonderful life. God has blessed me greatly. I appreciate the freedom from guilt that I found, the peace within. I appreciate his help in every way. But here's the best news of all. This Christian life isn't just for me. It can be for everyone. Every one of you. What I've struggled to describe this morning, what I've tried to describe, a real life with God, a life of living in his favor, a life of freedom from guilt, a life of peace, what I've found is available to every one of us. Do you know that? That's the good news. You know, some jobs only a few can have. Some things in life only a few attain to. You ever drive by these rows of houses that are hundreds and hundreds of thousands and wonder where these people work to afford these things, how they ended up there? Only, you know, not everybody can attain to that. But what I've described to you this morning is for everyone. What I found, you can have. What I found, I want you to have. That's my heart's desire. That's what I found in this real Christian life. It's what I'd like you to experience. And I know many of you have. Acts 2:21 says, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. That means anybody. Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Again, whosoever. In Revelations 22 and 17, the spirits and the bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. I know a lot of this Christian life I can't describe. I know I fall short in trying to explain what it really is many times. But it's a wonderful life. Like I said, not without problems, right? Everybody knows the Lord knows that, right? There's problems, there's difficulties. But it is a real life with Him, and with His help, and with peace, and with His encouragement and presence day by day. And it's available to every one of you. There's not a person in this building that this is outside your grasp. Whosoever will, whosoever's athirst, whoever wants, it's available to you. You may be like me. You may have been in church your whole life. People would have thought I was religious. I wasn't evil. I was always cautious. I didn't want to embarrass Dad. So I didn't want to do something that embarrassed Dad. People thought I was a pretty good guy. I wasn't, but they thought I was. I was in church all the time. And yet, I didn't really know God until I was 24 years old. And I never really understood until I began my life with Him. I never really fully understood what a Christian life really was. Or you may not be like me. You may not have been in church a lot. You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter either way. This salvation's available to whosoever will. More than being religious, more than just being moral, it's a real life with God. And I pray this morning, my prayer is, we're going to sing, as we always do, just a few short verses of song, 3 or 4 verses. And if you want, it said whoever's athirst can come. If you want, I'd be happy to pray with you. And you can know for yourself. Like I said, there's a part we got to do. We have to repent. That means be willing to turn. We have to believe. But then there's a part God does within us to give us this real life. As you stand as we sing a verse of song.